What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
This podcast is sponsored by our good friends over at Optometry Times.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Defocus Media Podcast. I want everyone to enter this simple and relaxed mental space. Breathe deeply. Feel the calm come over you, because today we are talking about the fusion of yoga and optometry. You may not understand how the two go together, but that's what we're here to talk about today. And we brought in an expert to talk about this excellent fusion of practitioners practicing yoga and talking about the benefits of whole body health to their patients. So welcome to the show, Dr. Danielle Richardson.
Thank you guys for having me so much. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Richardson, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. Now, you have a pretty interesting story. Before we jump into that world, let's get to know you a little bit better. Where are you from? Where did you go to optometry school? And what are you passionate about?
Well, I am originally from Indianapolis, Indiana, and I graduated from the IU School of Optometry. So currently I'm a practicing therapeutic optometrist in Houston, Texas, and I've been practicing since 2015. Now, originally I was practicing in New York City in Manhattan as a part-time associate for LensCrafters, but life happened and I ended up moving to Houston, Texas. And so I practiced in a few different settings here, including having my own sublease store, but currently I'm practicing in a local retail group practice, and I love it. I work downtown. I live downtown. My patients are mostly professionals, and I love being able to talk to them about all the latest and greatest with digital eye strain. You know, we do LASIK co-management, we do contact lenses, you name it. So currently I love where I practice. I love my patient demographic and I'm super happy.
So when did you get into yoga? Was it as a student or was this after you got out of optometry school?
So I actually started practicing yoga seriously during my fourth year of optometry school. Prior to yoga, I was active as a cheerleader in college at IU, and in optometry school, I ran a couple of half marathons with my roommate, but I didn't really practice yoga for the workout component. During fourth year, my body just completely gave out. I mean, I was having severe digestive issues. My vision had actually gotten much worse since starting optometry school. I couldn't sleep. It just was having a lot of issues. And so I went to my doctor and we tried a few different medications and we weren't really able to nail down a diagnosis or come up with a solution that worked. So my doctor, you know, said what many say, oh, you're just stressed, so why don't you try some yoga to de-stress? And so once I started yoga, I was actually hooked. So I practiced as much as I could during fourth year. And actually, I asked my parents for my graduation present as a ticket to Bali. And I went on a month-long solo vacation after graduation to practice yoga in Bali and really immerse myself in the yoga world. So when I came back, I, you know, knew this was something that I really enjoyed, and I ended up doing a teacher training to learn more and realize that this was something that it wasn't just for me, but that I had to share with others.
Okay, so we're going to have to talk about this trip a tad bit more. Please give us some more details. You can't just mention it like it was nothing major. You know, let's talk about this a little more in detail from top to bottom.
So yeah, everyone was going to go, you know, backpacking in Europe, or people had a lot of different things they wanted to do for graduation. And I, you know, I was sick, so I wasn't able to eat anything really anymore. I was just having a lot of issues. So I decided that I really wanted to learn about yoga, and I really wanted to commit to going on a vacation where I could relax and just be. So I, you know, Googled a couple things and I was like, Bali, this seems like a good place. I saw this place called the Yoga Barn in Ubud, Bali. And I said, okay, that's where I'm going to go. So I booked the ticket. You know, I was very crazy at the time. No one was going with me. I didn't know anyone in Bali. I really didn't know what I was going to do, but I was like, this is it. So I ended up going there and I went to the Yoga Barn every day where I took yoga classes. And in Bali, you know, the currency exchange is super cheap. So I was also getting massages every day. I was going to all types of workshops and, you know, I was eating, the food there is super healthy. So I was eating a pretty plant-based vegan diet and going to yoga two times a day, walking everywhere, drinking plenty of water, journaling, reading books, you know, meeting other people traveling. And it was just such a relaxing experience. And what it taught me was that I wasn't sick because of the food I was eating. I wasn't sick I was sick because of the way I was living. And so it gave me an opportunity to really slow down and learn about yoga, learn about meditation, learn about food, and see for myself the difference I felt physically when I removed all of the stress from my life. So it was scary to, you know, get on that plane and say, I'm going all the way across the world. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I mean, ultimately, it was just an exercise in trusting yourself and, you know, listening to your gut instincts. And it ended up being a choice that changed the whole trajectory of my life.
So I have one question. Why did you come back?
I know, because I was running out of money.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I was, you know, I just graduated. So it was like, you know, the graduation funds were only so much.
So that's so interesting. Right after school, I know for me, I immediately was on that high anxiety track. I needed to find a job. I needed to study for boards because North Carolina has that extra board you have to take. And I left school and like immediately went home and started studying and job hunting and like went to work about a month later when I first got that job. So instead, you went a different track. We were all burnt out after school and you were decided, okay, I'm going to take this time to recenter myself and refocus on what's really important so I can start my career off to a better and healthier track for me. And I think that's so invigorating and such an amazing experience to have at that pivotal time in your life to kind of keep you refreshed. I'm really jealous about this right now.
Jed, I was the same way. Whatever I got out of optometry school, I went to study for North Carolina boards. And then the next thing you know, I was working. I just got straight to the buddy. I'm sitting here thinking like, man, maybe I should have visited somewhere like Bali to relax and get my mind free.
It really was just perfect timing for you to take that mental break. I mean, all of us were like hamsters on a spinning wheel. You need a job, you need money, you need the career, you need to study for boards, you need to be, you know, an expert on every part of the practice, you need to learn specialty contact lenses. I mean, it was a never-ending sort of list of to-do things to become that excellent optometrist that you wanted to be. But that same kind of feeling of anxiety that goes around that where you've got to do, puts us in a really bad circle to be in as new practitioners. And you taking that time to reset, I'm sure has really helped you make the most of your career up to this point.
Yeah, I think it really changed the way I perceived it all because I realized I needed that break. And so many of us need that break, but you know, we can't take it because of life demands, financial demands, you know, whatever the constraints may be. But it makes me value time more than I would have prior to because I was, you know, I had applied in New York, you don't have to take boards or anything. So I had applied for my New York license pretty much as soon as I graduated. So, you know, I was just waiting to get that back. And then I was expecting to, you know, go to New York and hit the ground running and do all this stuff. And then when I came back from Bali, I was like, you know, I'm actually not going to do all of that. I'm going to just take things slow. I'm going to really find something that fits for me and find a way to practice optometry in a sustainable way, because the way I was doing it in school was not sustainable at all. And so I didn't want to carry those same habits with me into the profession.
Okay, so you come back from an amazing trip in Bali. You start working mentally, physically. You feel tremendously better due to yoga. What drove you to start Fierce Clarity?
So Fierce Clarity is my company, and the mission of Fierce Clarity is to empower women on the journey towards wellness, balance, and clarity. So what started as my taking yoga classes eventually evolved into my creating a much happier and healthier life for myself. So through my practice of yoga and these other things, I learned how to alleviate sources of mental, physical, emotional stress in my life. So Fierce Clarity was born from my desire to share these tools and practices with other women. Now, overall, the intention of Fierce Clarity when I started this company is to just really empower people to live their own version of a happy and healthy life and really empower people to realize that only you can know what's your happiest and healthiest life. So you don't have to follow the same diet as everyone else. You don't have to do the same workouts as everyone else. You don't have to do things the same way as everyone else. There's a lot of freedom in choices and a lot of freedom in getting clear about what choices are going to best serve you. So we offer yoga retreats. We offer yoga classes, wellness retreats, workshops, and other lifestyle design tools that focus on holistic wellness, so of mind, body, and soul. And our signature program is actually the Fierce Reset, which is a wellness retreat that combines yoga, spirituality, meditation, and holistic health in a luxury setting. So that offering is mainly geared towards professional women, a demographic of people who generally do not slow down and do not take any time for themselves. And so those women specifically, I speak their language and I can help empower them to realize where their pain points and to create habits and structures for themselves that will lead to a happier and healthy life.
So you're practicing optometry full time. And then on the side, you're running your own small business where you're teaching yoga and you're offering mentorship to people and you're running these retreats on the weekend. How do you balance all of that?
So it's tough sometimes. But, you know, I'm lucky enough. I was very intentional about what type of job I would take when, you know, once I started looking for a full-time job again. And I'm lucky enough that I'm able to walk to work. So I don't have a commute and I have a lot of help. So I have a team of people who support me with Fierce Clarity. So that's helpful. But really how I balance it all is understanding that number one, I have to take care of myself. So if I'm not eating right, if I'm not practicing my own yoga, if I'm not, you know, coming from a good place, then everything's a mess. Work's a mess. Fierce Clarity's a mess. I feel stressed. I feel overwhelmed. So really I balance it all by being present each day and showing up like, okay, this is what has to get done today. And I can't, you know, be overly focused or overly involved on what has to get done 3 months from now. So you do have the big picture and you are working towards the big goals, but how to really do it all is to break it into small steps and do it day by day and week by week.
I just love the way that you're making it all about yourself. You know, you're not looking at that big corporation. Oh, I have to produce this. I have to produce that. You're finding that perfect work-life balance and making it happen. And of course, I'm pretty sure yoga is making it a lot easier for you as well, making it stress-free. But it's just amazing how yourself and some of the younger other doctors that we have interviewed, they know how to put themselves first and they know how to look forward to the future and just make things happen so they can have an incredible career. They're not just going to a job and working and working and working. They're starting their own businesses and they're taking good care of themselves at the same time. I mean, I think this is amazing.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I think that's, you know, part of all of the analyses of millennials is that growing up in the Great Recession has affected their mental state, right? And I think in some regards it is true because you don't necessarily have the luxury of having the same job for 30 years anymore. And so keeping that in mind, it's like if your company shutters and you get, you know, you're out of a job, then what? You know, luckily optometry is a transferable skill, so you'll always be able to practice. But I think that in some ways it has shaped the mindset where people say, I can do good work for you, but I can also do good work for myself.
That's a great point. One thing that I always express to students or other colleagues whenever Jennifer and I are having speaking engagements is social media. You know, you have to be able to create a social media platform where if you do end up parting ways from whatever company you're a part of, your patients know where you're at and they can always follow you and know exactly what's going on. So you're not just stuck. You know, you have that other outlet to generate income and another outlet to have the patients follow you as well. And speaking of social media, could you elaborate on how you got 10,000 followers? I mean, that's pretty incredible in today's society with optometry, at least.
Yeah, so you have to have a strategy, number one. You do not accidentally get 10,000 followers or any large following on social media. You know, you have to have a strategy. And what I would say, my strategy, you know, first things first, you need to pick a platform. So some people will say for a small business or for a professional or whatever, you need to be on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, you know, Snapchat, all of these things. And I really fundamentally disagree with that. I think if you are running your own social media, you should pick the platform you most naturally gravitate towards. So you want to pick something that's native to you because it's easier for you to do it. Now, if you have, you know, a company running your social media, obviously, then you could have more platforms. But to really grow a following, you want to pick a platform and be really good at it. So, you know, once I picked Instagram, I really stuck to it. And another way to grow the following is to be consistent. So you have to post regularly. Now, consistency, there's a lot of variability in what consistency means. So some people that means multiple posts per day, some people it means every other day, some people it means, you know, just one or two posts per week. But I think really the point of consistency is you want people to know you use the platform, and you want them to be able to come to the platform to see you and see what you're up to and see what you're sharing with them. So posting with whatever regularity you deem appropriate is really important for growing the following. And then the next thing that's important in terms of like my social media strategy is producing quality content. So for example, with Fierce Clarity, I primarily use Instagram, which is a visual platform. And I saw tremendous growth when I switched to high resolution images. So increasing the quality of my content directly increased, you know, my following. And additionally, not only is it the quality of the photos, but it is the actual content. So I'm a big believer that you should pick a few things and stick to them as opposed to doing, trying to do everything. So like Fierce Clarity, you know, we have yoga, we have healthy food, we have travel, flowers, you know, meditation, we talk about our retreats. We keep things pretty consistent. You know, I post a lot of positive quotes so people know this is a place where you can come and, you know, get some inspiration or learn a recipe or something like that. But I don't try and post like shoes and an outfit of the day and things that aren't really in Fierce Clarity's wheelhouse. Even though I might enjoy them, I keep the content specific. And then lastly, I would say the best way to grow a following, or the most important part, is to focus on engagement. So you have to engage with people on your platform to increase your visibility, because you might have an amazing account, but nobody will ever know you're there because there are billions of social media accounts online. So you have to search and use hashtags to find your customers or people who would be interested in your content. You have to comment, like, and share, and follow, and repost, and, you know, just engage daily from your account. And a lot of times you'll find that those that by engaging with people, you start to increase your following, but you also start to build community. And ultimately, a following is really just a community of like-minded people who are interested in what you're producing.
So that was just an excellent textbook course on social media. And even though, of course, you're doing this for your Fierce Clarity business, it's really more focused on yoga. That's exactly the same takeaways that we give when we, Daryl and I, go out into the community and talk about social media for optometrists. Those same talking points about creating a visual brand, making sure you're true to who that brand is, and of course, engaging on the social media platform for like-minded people so that you can develop this community and this following around it. Job well done. That was really good.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you guys.
How do you see the impact of your social media on the small business success of Fierce Clarity?
So it has helped. So Fierce Clarity is, you know, our main product is a wellness retreat. So we get people who hear about the retreat from Instagram. Now, I don't do a lot of advertising, which I probably should, and I'm gonna work on that, but I kind of take the whole foods approach to marketing. Like, if you have a really good product and people really believe in what you're doing, they will tell other people, and that is really the best marketing you can have. So it's a slower model than some traditional types of marketing, but using Instagram and using word of mouth, I've really seen growth in the number of applicants who are interested in our retreat programs, and also just people interested in content in general. So people want yoga classes online, they want online programs, they want retreat content made available online. So I'm learning what products and what offerings people want by just having a social media and engaging with people on that platform. And through that large following, I'm getting a large sample size of, you know, how many people would be interested in this online product. And so what I've really learned is that, so our main product right now, like I said, is the Fierce Reset Wellness Retreat, but I'm learning that people really want more online content. So that has been the beauty of having a large following, is that I'm learning what direction to take Fierce Clarity next.
Those are some great tips, Danielle. Okay, so Danielle, I have a confession. I tried yoga once, and after that class, I felt like a complete idiot, simply because everyone was staring at me, I know. At least I felt that way. I was leaning to one side. I couldn't keep my balance. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And the next day, I was in complete pain from head to toe. And the only reason why I even tried the course or class was simply because I had a lot of patients come in telling me, hey, Dr. Glover, you need to try out yoga. It's very relaxing, stress-free. It'll just make you feel better as a person. And I'm sitting here thinking, I already feel great as a person. But I was like, hey, if I could feel even better, let me try it out. So I tried it and it just didn't work out for me. One thing I can say that I'm intrigued about is how you've been able to correlate ocular health with yoga as well. What kind of dialogue are you having with your patients in the exam room to incorporate the two?
So the main way, a main teaching of yoga is that everything is connected. So if you're not able to touch your toes, it's probably not just that your hamstrings are tight. It's probably your low back is compensating for your hamstrings and your neck is tight and your shoulders are tight. So everything is connected in your flexibility, your strength, all of those things in the body. So not only from a physical standpoint, but in a metaphysical standpoint, yoga teaches everything is connected. And so the main thing I always share with my patients is that philosophy of interconnectedness. So, in yoga, it's a little bit more metaphysical, right? So mental and emotional ailments can show up physically in the body. So I don't really go that far in the exam room, but I do talk to them about, how their behaviors and actions can impact their health. So I talk about the need to unplug and de-stress at the end of the day as a relief from accommodative strain and their dry eye disease. So, whether that's doing a mini meditation or just using a Bruder mask for 15 minutes, taking that time to unplug is not only good for your eyes, but it's good for your overall health and well-being. So, not only from that aspect, but we all learn about systemic disease and how systemic disease affects the eyes. And so I try and share with them that relationship between systemic disease in the eyes, but also through their actions and the systemic disease. So talking to them about diet control, talking to them about being aware of the, preservatives and things in the cosmetics they use, what supplements to take, all of these things, and really using food as medicine to treat not only their dry eye or to treat their rosacea, but to treat their systemic conditions like diabetes and high blood pressure, or if they have autoimmune issues. So I really talk to my patients about how everything is interconnected, and I try and show them how they can actually make choices to positively impact whatever disease is, whether it's ocular or systemic. Now, for myself, what yoga teaches me is to let go of what you can't control. So that really helps because, you get the crazy patients, you get people who, the staff's off schedule, everything's a mess, there's like all these walk-ins. In those moments, it's just like, breathe, it is what it is. You can't make everybody happy. This day is going to continue going whether, we do this or not. So it teaches me to slow down and to breathe and just to be at peace with what is. So whether what is a great day, everyone's happy and, moving through the schedule with ease, or whether what is a patient coming in for their fifth remake because they don't know they're working distance from the computer, it is what it is.
What you're talking about is so true. I can see myself having so much anxiety about the patient care experience. I'm leaving the room. I know I took a little extra time with this patient. They had a lot more questions. They had a lot more going on. And I go out front to help get them checked out. And I see there's like two or three people in the waiting room from my upcoming exams. And I can immediately just feel that cold sweat, breaking over me. Like my insides are boiling. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're late. Why are there so many people here? What are we going to do? We need to tell all of them that we're running behind. And and then it's just like, okay, we need to calm down and stop. I just need to see the next patient who's right in front of me. But the problem is like that each experience I have where we're running late and people get upset and it's a bad experience feeds on me the next time I see that we're starting to run late. It's like a traumatic stress disorder almost in a way, where the anxiety of 3 years ago I ran late and we got a really bad patient review builds up to this experience right now and nothing bad's actually happened yet. So as optometrists, we do have very stressful careers. We're on a clock, we're on a cycle, we're given 20 plus people to see every single day, and we've got to make that work. And people are always variables that you cannot control for necessarily. And then on top of that, our patients have sometimes really terrible anxiety, and it's causing them a lot of problems with their vision, with their dry eye, with iritis or inflammatory conditions, and we're having to treat all of that and talk to them about their anxiety. So I can definitely see where taking care of ourselves can put us in a better place to help taking care of them.
It really is. And, yoga, my yoga teacher, the person I learned to teach yoga from, he's been teaching for 40 years, and he's super into like the energetics of yoga and really the energetics of emotional health. And his philosophy is one that I really adopted, and I know it to be true in my own life, is that anxiety that we feel, it builds up in the body. And so we're not only getting it from our patients, but I'm the same way. When I see people out there, my heart starts racing. Like, I start freaking out, like, oh my goodness, you know. And we're building these stressor chemicals in the body. And so the way to release them is through movement. So my movement of choice is yoga, but maybe some people it's running, or some people it's hiking or cycling or whatever. But a real key is that moving the body moves those stressor chemicals through the system, and it helps you release them in a way that otherwise you might not. So it can build upon itself. And when we are in a field that is so time sensitive, where we're on a schedule and, you know, everybody's on a schedule and the patients are, you know, putting a lot of pressure on you to hurry up and be quicker, and that accumulates in your body. And so I find at the end of the day, some sort of movement helps. Now, some days that's just walking, some days it's yoga, whatever, but physically moving has been shown to really move those stressor chemicals and those emotions out of the body so that we don't have to hold on to them.
Have you had any patients where you've really been able to personally connect with your life philosophy and seen yoga or nutrition or the topics that you're talking to them about, more about holistic body health, affect them and give them a positive impact on their own ocular health or eyes?
Yeah, I actually have. And really, it's my patients who suffer from digital eye strain. So I work downtown. My patients are mostly professionals. And, you know, everybody is on the computer all day long. Everyone reads the news on their phones. Everyone is living in a very frazzled state. And it's being able to share some of these philosophies about taking a break and taking a moment for yourself and being able to just talk with them really honestly about your eyes are, this is not healthy and it's not sustainable. And so we're still in the infancy of, you know, digital devices. You know, the iPad came out in 2010. So we really don't know what the impact is going to be in 15 or 20 years, but we do know that staring at a digital device for 20 hours a day is not going to produce great results. So being able to talk with them about unplugging and de-stressing and finding ways to build in a little chill or downtime will not only help their eyes, but help their lives. I have, you know, people have come back and I've given them recommendations for yoga classes, or I talk to people about certain documentaries or, you know, apps like meditation apps or something if they want to get into that. But when people come back and they say, oh, I went to that yoga class, I really liked it, I go to this studio now, or this app really helped me, or wow, that documentary was awesome. Those are the patients where it affirms to me that you can bring your whole self to this profession.
So you mentioned meditation. Tell me the top apps that I should look into, because I've actually been reading about meditation. I think it's something that's pretty cool. You know, I need to have a little stress reliever there. So give me some tips.
So there are a few different apps for meditation. Now, I think the best way to learn meditation is to learn from a teacher. So there on fierceclarity.com, I have some posts about not only meditation apps, but there's also an online program I really like that is a 14-day program from a teacher to learn meditation. But each app has its pros and cons, right? So it depends on the type of person you are. So there's an app called Om Vana, and that's a great app because it has several different types of meditations, like an iTunes library of meditations. But the con is that all the meditations cost money. you know, some people might not like that. But another good app is Calm. They have a lot of guided and unguided meditation. So a guided meditation is when somebody is talking you through it. And when you're first starting out, if you can't actually learn from a teacher, a guided meditation is great because they're going to take you exactly through the program. Now, there's different types of meditation. You might focus on your breath. You might focus on your body and feeling sensations in the body. You might focus on visualizing, you know, an outcome or a goal, or visualizing yourself relaxing. But in general, the point of meditation is to take a break from the thinking mind and to tap into the subconscious mind, or the mind that is us when, you know, when all of the thoughts are quiet. So meditation is never going to be, you're never going to be like a monk in a zen-like state and never have any thoughts. It's just not, it's not going to happen. But Okay. So like when you're meditating, you're going to think, oh my gosh, what am I going to have for dinner? Oh, did I leave the stove on? Oh, what time is it? Oh, my foot hurts. I'm thirsty. You know, you're going to have all these thoughts come in. But what meditation is really helping you cultivate is focused attention and focused concentration. So being able to just focus on either the breath or the body, whatever the focus is of your meditation, but to ignore the thoughts and focus your attention there. And the goal is that ultimately you come to realize I'm not my thoughts and I don't have to be ruled by these emotions and these impulses. But on fierceclarity.com on the blog, I have a post about a meditation program, a 14-day program that has a teacher and that's offered online. But then I also have a more detailed breakdown of what are some good beginner apps for meditation.
So speaking about Fierce Clarity, I know you have an exciting opportunity and offer for our listeners. Tell us all about it.
Yes, the Fierce Reset is our signature program and we have condensed it into a weekend retreat. So it's going to be held January 2018 in Sedona, Arizona. So it is a wellness retreat that combines yoga, meditation, holistic health, all those things I was talking about earlier in a luxury setting. It is perfect for those who can only escape the grind for a few days and are looking to reset and go into the new year with clarity and powerful intentions. So it's just for women. Sorry, fellas, but for your listeners, I'd love to offer 10% off if they use the promo code DEFOCUS. So 10% off the Fierce Reset Weekend Edition in Sedona with the promo code DEFOCUS.
I swear the men never get any love anymore. There's nothing out there for us.
Oh my gosh. Give me a break, Daryl.
You know, I have been getting a lot of interest about, you know, couples and like, can guys come or like a co-ed or a couple type of retreat. So initially it wasn't something I was considering, but I am starting to open more to the idea as I find that more and more men are following me. And even my colleagues and my friends who are lawyers or doctors or whatever, other professional men ask me, you know, what about meditation? What about yoga? What about this healthy recipe? And, you know, they want that same information too. So it's been eye-opening that, oh, I didn't think men would be interested, but it turns out, you know, everybody's interested in living a happier and healthier life.
Absolutely. I mean, like myself, I don't know where to start. You know, I went to a class, but I just felt like there was really no true guidance. And the only reason why I went was because one of my patients told me about it, you know, and I was like, okay, let me try this out. It seems pretty cool, pretty dope. It can relieve a little stress and let's give it a shot. But again, I was extremely in pain when I did the yoga and the meditation. I just didn't know what the hell I was doing. So yeah, we need some guidance.
Yeah, I mean, my husband and I, we do couples yoga. We do that P90X yoga video, which I know everyone's going to have an opinion whether that's truly yoga or anything, but it works for us. Yes, it's uncomfortable, but you find this like mental erasing going on because you're just focused on getting your body through it. And then you've got like the person you love the most on the world right beside you, like struggling through it right there. And then at the end you like lay on the ground like a corpse, and sometimes you even just take a nap. I'm so relaxed and peaceful, and it's a perfect cuddle time afterwards, so it's very rewarding for me.
Absolutely. I think I always tell people, don't be turned off by your first experience. I mean, I had a horrible first experience too. There is so much variability in yoga, like there is with everything. My teacher, he always said everybody could teach yoga in the world and there still wouldn't be enough yoga teachers. So he says that to say there is a teacher for you and a style of yoga for you personally. So it's not one size fits all. So if you had a bad experience, you just have to find a different yoga studio or a different yoga teacher or a different type of yoga to find a yoga experience that you can settle into and actually feel comfortable and feel like you're learning and that the teacher is guiding you through what you're supposed to be doing and not just like, all right, everybody, YOLO, let's do whatever you got to do.
Well, thank you so much for the generous offer about the discount on the retreat for our listeners. I'm definitely going to check my calendar to see where I'm going to be at on January 28th, see if I can make this work. Sounds very exciting to me and very relaxing, something that I could definitely sign up for right now. This is just a great reminder about how much we've got going on as optometrists, and it's easy to overlook our own personal stresses. And if we're not taking care of ourselves, we're not taking care of our patients to our best. But also a reminder of the eye is a part of the whole body, and we know that, but sometimes we just think about the eye so specifically and the muscles and the different parts of it that are working together to create that person's problems. But the eye is attached to the whole body. And a lot of times, many of their problems that we're seeing are an expression of entire body problems. And so thinking about the eye and that mindset, we might be able to help our patients just so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the genesis of, you know, the Fierce Reset retreat really came from my Bali trip. You know, I wanted to create that same environment for other people, because when you can completely remove the stress of daily life and really just dive into yoga and meditation and all of this stuff, you really come to a point of clarity within yourself that I have to take care of me, and these are the ways that I can do it in my daily life. And you can take those tools back with you so that you know when you're practicing, you have to eat a balanced lunch. You know, you can't just eat peanuts or whatever, but whatever the structure is for you, you learn that to take back with you. And I think it's so important for so many women, and men as well. Like you said, as professionals, it is important that we learn sustainable habits that we can bring with us to be in a good space, so that from that good space, we can give our best patient care.
So Danielle, where do you see Fierce Clarity going in the future? What's your 5-year plan?
So in the near future with Fierce Clarity, I definitely want to continue to merge Fierce Clarity with my optometry career. So this summer, I actually taught a yoga class at an optometry convention at the National Optometric Association's annual meeting this summer in Portland. So I would love to teach yoga at these optometry meetings and, you know, really introduce people to yoga in that professional setting where we're already networking, we're already meeting people. We already feel more relaxed just because we're at these meetings. So I'd love to, you know, teach at more meetings and, you know, expand my offerings like we were saying earlier. So provide online classes and online content, online materials, so that maybe even doctors on their lunch break or anybody can do a short little yoga segment. So I definitely want to continue to merge optometry and Fierce Clarity and create something that is useful for everyone.
So I'm not going to lie, this whole podcast, I've been thinking, how can we get Daryl in yoga pants? So optometry conference, that sounds like a win. We are making this happen.
That's going to be a crazy day and a crazy look. So please keep all the cameras away, okay?
We will make sure we document him in some yoga pants doing some yoga poses at an optometry meeting.
You know what? Actually, funny, crazy story. I had a patient come in. I remember this like it was yesterday. I actually shared this at a conference that I was speaking at on behalf of Transitions. This lady came in. I was helping her over the last couple of years, and she had a lot of dry eyes. And, you know, we went from contacts to glasses because she just felt better with them. And she told me she was doing yoga. And the problem that she was experiencing with yoga was that with her glasses, you know, they would always fall off. And I was like, oh, maybe it's the fit. Maybe you don't have the right frame style. Let's refit you and go from there. And I was asking her, I said, so can you explain more detail in regards to how the glasses are actually falling off? And she was like, yeah, there's this position called a downward dog or something like that. And I was like, well, I don't know much about yoga, but could you just give me a little more clarity? This woman got on the ground, bent over in front of me, and I was just like, okay, I'm never asking that question again. But it was just, she went all the way down, her butt was way up in the air, and I felt very uncomfortable in the exam room. So every year that she would come in, I would always leave the door open because I just didn't want her to be doing anything and one of my staff members walk in and see someone in that position.
That's really funny, actually. I ended up getting LASIK earlier this year because of teaching yoga, and glasses and yoga don't work, and I had dry eye too, actually.
Oh, okay.
And I was moving from contacts to glasses, and then I was like, you know, I cannot teach yoga in glasses, so I finally got LASIK. So I feel her. I understand yoga might be your LASIK intro to
right. Well, all the men optometrists out there, don't ask anyone to do any yoga position in your office because you will feel pretty uncomfortable.
Or maybe you'll join them.
Maybe the name Downward Dog should have alerted you about what was going to happen next, Daryl.
Oh, my God. Daniel, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Jen and I both gained a wealth of knowledge in regards to the world of yoga. I'm definitely going to give it another shot at some point in time, I promise. for our followers that are intrigued and want to learn more about how to incorporate ocular health and yoga into their practice, what's the best way that they can reach out to you? And what are your social media handles as well?
So my social media platforms, number one is Instagram at Fierce Clarity on Instagram. I also have a Facebook page, Fierce Clarity. But the best way to reach me is really through the website, fierceclarity.com. We have a lot of resources and a lot of information there, and Instagram, because that's where I'm the most active.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast. And remember, we keep it 2020 around here. Pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.